where you end up with people who will go to one group of MLAs and not go to another. If this was a more neutral environment, the idea from Pat McCartan here is that people would not be put off from walking through those doors.
Pat and his panel, I think they're bringing themselves into disrepute. They need to live in the real world. This is Northern Ireland. People vote for political parties. Look at the election results. There's very little movement between the main blocks. Yes, it happens around the edges. If you take, for example, the Alliance Party, they may gain support from both sides, as it were. But a unionist is a unionist. A nationalist or Republican is a nationalist or Republican. The fact that they may have a flag inside, the fact that they might have a photograph of Her Majesty the Queen or some other representative is irrelevant to the person coming in. They're coming in for advice. They're coming in for assistance of who they consider to be their MLA, and they take the decision on the MLA that they're going to vote for at election time. So I stress, this has nothing to do with the probity. It's got nothing to do with value for money. It has got nothing to do with accountability. And that's the job, as I see it, of the panel.
Well, Seamus Close's exercise. Let's see what Jim Allister is. How do you feel about these proposals? Are you ready to remove the flag from your office?
I think there are elements of these proposals which are absolutely absurd. This panel exists to oversee the expenditure of public money. And I have no quibble with that. And I think it's appropriate that they might set a cap on office rental, etc., because there have been abuses of that. And they should indeed be even more energetic about trying to stop the acquisition of party assets through public funding of offices. And I think there's been some examples of that ongoing. And I think they should be anxious to stop the duplication of the funding of offices from Westminster and from Stormont, such as we've seen in Ballymena with the DUP. But that's their function. But to then get into the decor of offices is they're way outside their remit. It is utterly absurd, and it is none of their business.
It's not the decor of offices, though, is it, Jim? It is about it's about what is displayed there, and obviously there is. And I you know, you deal with constituents all the time, but presumably there are some constituents who are more likely to come to you than others. And there will be some people who will say they'll be put off by the idea of going to your office because they see you as a kind of a unionist office. That's how they'll view you.
Well, that's not been my experience. People come through the doors of my office of all backgrounds, and they're very welcome. But if they do come through the door of my office, I have two offices, but they come through the door of my office in Ballymena, for example, they will see sitting in the corner a decorative union flag. Now, I didn't ask Stormont to buy that flag. I purchased that flag myself. And it would be wrong to ask Stormont to purchase flags. But to say that I cannot display the flag of my country in my office is absurd. To say I cannot announce my office as a TUV office is absurd.
Well, I think the point that Pat McCartan was making... No, but hang on. Pat McCartan's point was this is a constituency office. It's for constituents. It's not for the party.
It's a political office for a politician elected on a party label. When you stand for election, you put on the ballot paper the description of your party, in my case, TUV. Now, having done that, having been elected as TUV, others have been elected on their party, to then sanitise that away from the above the door of the office is absolutely absurd. And I think that this commission, this panel, totally lost the run of themselves on this issue, and they need to get a grip on reality and realise that they're there to oversee the expenditure of public money. They're not there to tell me or anyone else how I will decorate my office. And I think that they really do need to come to terms with what their remit is and to wind in their neck, to use an expression.
0845955678 if you want to speak to Jim or Seamus, if you feel strongly about this issue. Fred's on the line from Dromore. Hiya, Fred.
How you doing?
What's your thoughts?
The whole thing is just as daft as the whole storm of this. We must be the laughing stock of the world.
But the
MLAs who have to special advisors telling them what to do. Now, this whole crime is going to tell them how to run their office, what you should have in the office, where you should have it, and what colour it should be.
But would you not feel welcome in an office that was a more neutral environment? Presumably there are some offices you feel currently more welcome going into than others.
I do not, indeed.
You're happy going in anywhere?
Pardon?
You're happy going in anywhere?
I can go into any office.
Okay, let's go to John. He's in White Abbey. John, what's your view? Hello, John. John, what is your view on this?
Well, look, I was the controller behind you skewed this a wee bit. I was wanting to actually put this question, if you didn't put it to the guy, the chairman of that committee. What I was asking was if any of the electorate wants to go and apply for a job with any company, they will have to undertake the distance between where they live and where they work into account, and if they can afford that. They can't say to the employer, will you pay me for my petrol or will you pay my fares? So I wanted to know why was the MLS separated from that of their electorate by having the payment from Stormont to their homes and back. I can't understand why they should be distinguished that way as compared to any other elector.
Jim Allister, why was that allowed? Has that gone on far too long?
Well, I think the situation is this, that from an MLA's home, they designate where their main office is. In my case, I have two offices. My main office is in Ballymena. But I also go to Stormont. And in going to Stormont, I'm not going to my office. I'm going to Parliament buildings. And for that, there is travel allowance. And frankly, I think that's fair enough. If you claim travel allowance for going to your office, then that's subject to taxation. And I think that's fair enough. Now, I've no quibble if they want to abolish entirely the allowance from going from home to your main office. I can accept that. But I think that where, of necessity, there is your main office and there is Parliament buildings, I don't think you can deny travel to both.
And the proposal that's put forward is a kind of a flat rate, if you like, isn't it, for people who are travelling from one constituency to another? Because it certainly seems that there were people who were claiming two or three times the amount of mileage as others who live in the same constituency. That
I
does seem strange.
I don't understand how you can enforce that rate, because obviously,
listen, Jim,
you could live, like, take North Antrim. North Antrim is a very big constituency. You could live at one end of it, you could live at the north end of it, and it's much further for you to travel.
It's not two or three times the distance.
Sorry?
Though. It's not two or three times the distance.
No, but
though.
It can be quite a considerable distance. You could travel an extra 30 miles there and back from within the same constituency. Take Fermanagh and South Tyrone.
Jim, John wants to speak to you. John.
Fermanagh and South Tyrone is a lot closer than Dungannon.
John,
so
what do you have to say?
Listen, Jim, that you can only have one place of work. You can decide which is your place of work, either Stormont or your office.
Yes.
But no other member of your electorate, and there's millions of us, gets paid by the employer to travel back and forward to their place of work. And that is totally discriminatory and wrong.
I'm not quibbling at that. I'm saying it, but I'm pointing out you do have two places of work, and provided the MLA can select which one is his main place of work, then I'm not quibbling with the fact that he shouldn't be paid travel to his main place of work. But the reality is you have two places of work, your office and your Stormont facility.
That sounds like a scandal at Westminster, where people were claiming that their residence was 100 miles away when they were actually living in London. It's very similar to that. You know,
I think that's corrupt
there.
Abuse of a system. If someone genuinely lives in the constituency, as I do, and I travel both to Stormont and to my office, I've no difficulty with...
Well, which is your place of work?
Well, I think my main place of work is probably my office, in that that's where my staff are. But I do have to go to Parliament buildings in order to carry out my public duties as an Assembly member. I can't deny that there are two places to which I go, but that's an inevitable consequence of the arrangement.
Clearly one of them is designated as a place of work then, not two of them.
Yes, I think it's fair for me to say my main place of work is my office, and therefore I don't claim travel to my office.
But it appears some of your colleagues or many of your colleagues are multiplying that by two and saying the two places of work.
Oh, I don't know, but I'm not quibbling with an attempt to stop that, but I'm saying that it is the reality that de facto there probably are.
Okay.
Two pieces of work.
Okay, John, thank you very much
for your
call.
Thank you very
much. Let's go to Jan, who's in Ballygowan. Jan, what do you have to say?
What have I to say? I am absolutely and utterly scundered listening. You people talking about flags and flags and more flags.
It's not us talking about flags. This is an official report into Assembly members' expenses.
Look, it doesn't matter. Look, if I worked in Donaghy D and I had an office up here in Stainfield, I mean, and you need to go to your office in Stainfield, and you also need to go to your main office in Donaghy D, I think you'd be entitled to claim for it.
And that's fine, but you also were having a go at flags there. I mean, what's your view? Should flags be displayed at constituency offices?
Yes, if they want to be. I think it's nobody's business. I think if you want to put something outside your door, you can do it. If you want to put something on top of your head, you can do it. You can wear a hat on top of your head and nobody can say, don't take that off. Certainly you can.
OK, let's ask Norman and Bangor. Do you agree with John?
Chris, there's only one way to solve this travel expenses. Give them all a bus pass and let them take public transport like the rest of us. Whereas they're claiming for pot plants, oak deaths. It's like a free-for-all at Stormont, so it is. Scrap a whole lot because there's no way of regulating it. And these people that have drew up all these regulations, there's no regulation. It's a free-for-all. It's like an ATM machine. Put your card in and grab what you can. That's what it's like at Stormont.
I suppose that shows, Seamus Close, why a report is necessary, because there is this perception, isn't there? Now, I there's nothing wrong with potentially an MLA taking a bus. Should they be taking the bus?
Well, I mean, we have got to be realistic here. You couldn't take a bus and arrive at any particular scheduled time from the outskirts of Fermanagh to arrive at Stormont for a committee.
Oh, it sounds like you're having to go at TransLink now. Don't start us there.
No, but all I'm saying is we've got to be realistic. But what's coming out of this is that clearly the perception within the general public, they see a system that in the past has been abused. For example, I can recall in my time, travel costs for some members in Belfast were greater than the travel costs for some members living 10, 20 miles outside Belfast. Clearly abused. And I think the only way to get round it is to listen to the public on this one and say, look, in any other job, you wouldn't get paid for travelling to your place of work, whether that is one office, as Jim was suggesting, a constituency office, or whether it's to Parliament buildings. And I think the simplest thing, because the problem is again is going to be in policing this, it's going to be administering it, is to stop payment. Let the member pay for their own travel. And that clears away that particular problem. And I think that when you look at the salaries that they're paid, and when you look at the office cost expenditure that they're allowed, I think they are pretty generously dealt with. And I don't honestly think that any member would object very strongly to that issue being cut out now.
OK, yes, Seamus, yes. Let's get another call in. Thomas is in Dundonald. Thomas.
Chris, good morning to you. I'm standing here in my place of work and I'm looking at a thing on the wall, European Convention of Rights, Article 10, the right to freedom of expression. Right? Now, whether that's still in date or not, I don't know. I'm just touching on that. Basically, you know, people within reason, as long as they're not rubbing people's noses in it, that's, I'm touching on that about flags and that. I'm leaving that alone.
But hang on, just while you're on that subject, there are actually rules, though, about what should happen in the workplace, presenting a place where people can feel welcome. A neutral working environment is something that's been talked about for a very long time in Northern Ireland. Surely this is just an extension of that.
Chris, where I work, basically, there's people of both divisions that live in Northern Ireland, and everything, when we come to work, we don't talk about anything, and everything's left at the gate. If you want to pick that up on the way out to go home again, that is entirely your decision, but it doesn't happen in the workplace.
And in that case, you'd support then flags and memorials not being a part of a constituency office?
No, well, I'm ex-forces, and basically, I have things that I've been given in my 22 and a half years when I served on the forces. It was things that I was given by colleagues when I was posted out to the other units and things. Look, we're all supposed to be adults here, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you can't have it both ways, because you're saying, first of all, that you do want a neutral work environment where all of these issues that do cause upset can't be brought into the workplace. But then you're saying at the same time, I still want to have to be able to express my culture, my background. You can't have it both ways.
What is it about this Article 10? Man, tell me this Article 10, the right to freedom of expression, European Convention rights, is that still life or is that defunct?
Well, let's speak to Jim Allister. He's a lawyer. He should know. Jim, I mean, this doesn't come under Article 10, does it?
Oh, Article 10 is still in vogue. It is freedom of expression supposed to be guaranteed to every citizen. And I must say, I think there is an argument that in, if I choose to express myself by some emblem on the wall, then that could could be an aspect of that. But it's just much more common sense than that. You're elected as a politician with a political party label, and to think then that you should abandon that label the moment you cross the threshold of the door of your office. You should abandon the fact that you are a unionist wanting to fly or have in the corner of your office the national flag of your country. This really is so absurd that I am staggered that people who we pay to do this job, namely this part, this panel, that they should so step outside their remit and have little else to do than to busy themselves in something that frankly isn't their business. Their business is to decide that public money is properly spent, that it's accountable, and in that they should set limits on what can be paid in rent and everything else, and what can be claimed in travel, but it is not for them to determine the decor of offices.
Sam's in Carrickduff. Sam, what do you have to say?
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. What about yourself?
I've never listened to such a load of rubbish all my life. I'll tell you, them boys want to get a hold of themselves and give themselves a shake, because, like, everybody that's out there doing an honest day's work and stuff, and one job, they don't get paid for travelling to work. These guys here, they want to get paid for travelling to work. They want £70,000 a year. They want their suits bought for them. They want all the expenses that they have to go out for a meal to get all the bills in. Who's paying for it? Ordinary working person.
I'm sure the majority of expenses, though, that Assembly members claim is quite legitimate. Not everybody's claiming mileage, for example.
Yeah, but what else are they claiming it through? Cleaning for their offices, you name it, everything under the sun.
Is that really fair? I mean, Seamus Close, again, it's just this bad vibe, isn't it? This attitude that basically politicians are always on the take, and it's deeply unfair in many cases.
In many cases it is, but unfortunately in some cases it is far from an exaggeration, because the system has been abused over the years, and there have been radio programmes, there have been television programmes, there have been articles in newspapers pointing this out.
So in that case, if this report is really to be effective, rather than having a go at all of the politicians, should it be separating them out? Should it be naming and shaming?
Well, every year, as I understand it, the list of expenses is published, and you know, the amount that was spent on travel was published, the amount that was spent on offices. That's how the programmes get their information.
But there is an interpretation that has taken place here in terms of this report, and it is, and Pat McCartan made this clear, that many people were using the expenses system quite correctly, but that some seemed to be abusing the system. However, yes, he stopped short of saying who that was. Now, yes, if this panel was to be effective, should it have said?
Named individuals. But what I'm saying is that there is available to the general public a full compilation of all members illustrating how they spent the money. But you see, the problem with this panel report is that they have taken away from other good stuff within it and made the headline, created the headline through reference to flags, party emblems and memorials.
OK, let's just ask Jim Allister the same question. Do you think they should have named and shamed, Jim?
Yes, I think when you're pressing Mr. McCartan about the abuses of offices and the fact that there's duality of payment from Westminster and Stormont by some parties, the fact that there are outrageous rents being paid for relatively modest offices, I think he should have been man enough to name who he was referring to, because I think most of us in the political world know who they are, but rather than simply try and paint everyone with the same brush of disrepute, I think that was wrong.
OK, Jim Allister and Seamus Close, thank you very much.